Hello, and welcome to the Sunday service of Calvary Chapel Foothill Ranch with Pastor Steve DiNicola.
It's Bryson. He did a great job at the lake. In fact, I had one of the young people came up to me afterwards, not in our church, just one of the the group there, said, "I was really glad you had Bryson speak." I wasn't sure what she meant by that. But maybe you'd be the judge.
Did they say that before or after? Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's good. That's good. You looking good, church? Looking good today. You woke up, you had some food, you got dressed. Maybe in that order. Maybe not in that order, different order. I've been up since 5. There was other people that woke up earlier than that. Yeah, I'm not saying, hey, relax, sound man. I didn't say I woke up before you. I'm just saying I woke up at 5. What I was going to do is, if you raise your hand if you woke up before 5. Raise your hand if you woke up before 4. Raise your hand if you didn't go to sleep. Oh, Monica wins. She's been awake since Thursday.
I've been to sleep all night.
Wow. She wins. Give Monica a hand of... Well, either way, it's good to see you. I'm so thankful to be... have the opportunity to preach again. The message, obviously, it's going to probably be familiar with you. And my gift to you for Easter is it's going to be a shorter message. You're welcome. So, but what I'm going to do is the next time I preach, just add about 20 minutes. So just expect that. Just an extra long message the next time you see me. So no, we can't vote on it. We can't. Yeah, it's unanimous. Yeah. God gave me the okay. That's all that matters. But we'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 20 to 28. Those are where we'll be pulling from today. Obviously, Easter, we've all mostly... Who's not celebrated Easter? Yeah, I didn't think so. So this is my 27th Easter on Earth and anywhere. Yeah, it's the 5 a.m. talking right now. But we've all celebrated Easter many, many times, and it is important to be reminded once a year to put a strong emphasis on the remembrance and the power of the resurrection, the death and the resurrection of Christ. But when I was preparing this message, I just really was reminded how necessary this message is every single day. For in a life of a believer, you know, and how it's not just meant for one day a year, you know, like even the message of Christmas, it's not just meant for Christmas, but the fact that Jesus was born and given to us as a perfect sacrifice and lived this perfect life and performed miracles. It's not just for Sunday. It's not just for once a year. It's for every single day in our lives that the power of Christ's life and death and resurrection is important every single day. Amen. Who was at the sunrise service? Okay, yeah, so extra apology because you guys are hearing this again. But if you want to get saved again, go for it. Yeah, you're fully allowed to do that, I guess. So we all have specific things that we all do. We either hang out with certain friends or certain family on Easter. There's specific meals that are prepared. And that's great. That's awesome. You know, the disciples and Jesus, they feasted all the time. And next Saturday, even, we're going to do the Passover Seder, which I thought you were going to announce, but there you go. Next Saturday, it's in the bulletin. He'll come up afterwards and give more details to that. But feasting is a part of not just the American dream, but it's also in the Bible. People did it all the time. There were certain feasts that they did, Passover meals. So the idea of celebrating with food is not a bad thing. I was first like getting all critical on myself, like, oh man, we're like planning tri-tip and au gratin potatoes when we should just be focusing on Jesus, you know, like I should fast. You know, it's not about that. You know, we need to be celebrating and celebrating the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. So we shouldn't come to this day just worried about the entrees at Mimi's Cafe or what they're going to be at lunch or what time to take the ham out of the oven. This day should be all about Jesus, and we know that it is. That's why we worship. It's all about what he did on the cross, and it's all about the eternal life that was gifted to us, and it should not be taken for granted. Amen. So in this passage, 1 Corinthians 15:20 to 28, the Apostle Paul is conveying to Christians that those who are in Christ, they must arise, since Christ himself arose. Christ's resurrection was in the past, but ours will be in the future. So we can participate with that. Christ's resurrection set in motion the defeat of all of God's enemies, including death. So our enemies as well. His resurrection demands our own resurrection, since Jesus, since if Jesus was not resurrected, death would have remained undefeated. So let's start in verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And this is why we celebrate, because Christ is risen from the dead. And first fruits are considered, it's not first fruits, we don't typically use that language very often. We're usually hearing it in church, the idea of first fruits, but back in the day, people that farmed, I don't know if anybody grew up on a farm here, but anybody who farmed, and especially in the Bible, when they farmed, the first crop that would come up was usually dedicated to the Lord. So they gave that first crop to the Lord, and it was typically the best crop, the of utmost excellence. And so Jesus here is considered to be the first fruits of those that have fallen asleep, it says. So those people that have passed away or died. So and Jesus was of the utmost excellence. So he was considered first fruit, perfect, the best. And because of his utmost excellence and perfection, his sacrifice on the cross to cover what sufficed to cover every single sin ever committed by all of us that put our faith in him. Amen? That's something to give him praise for. The resurrection of Jesus is also the first fruits of our own resurrection, in the sense that he gave us an entrance fee or our ticket into eternal life if we put our trust in him. Jesus ended the previously only option. There used to be only one option in death, was eternal death. But once Jesus came and died and forgave our sins, he gave us the option of eternal life instead of eternal death. Another reason to rejoice. Amen. Now, verse 21 and 22, we look and it says, "For since by man came death, by man, capital M, also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive." Now, death was never intended for us. We were never intended to die. God didn't create his creation with the intent to have them die. He created us perfect. He created all things initially perfect. But when the first Adam, or first man, Adam, he was the first Adam as well, he sinned, death entered creation. And so death entered creation because of sin. In John 10:10, it says, "The thief does not come except to kill and to steal and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Amen. God did not intend for us to die, but to give us abundant life. I want that abundant life. You need to want that abundant life. Sin opened the door for death because God's perfect creation became imperfect. And God became man through Jesus to die and resurrect so that death would no longer have the final say, but life would have the final say. Christ represents perfection, redemption, reconciliation, which reconciliation is just restored friendship, restored fellowship. When Adam sinned, there was a breaking of fellowship that mankind had with God. And when Christ came and died and rose again, he restored that ability, and he reconciled our relationship with God, that now I, on my own, can go to God directly, that we can go to God directly. So it wasn't just that he died and that's it. Cool. He did that so I can just do whatever I want now. No, it's he died and now lives so that I can have a relationship with the creator of the universe. It's an amazing concept. So in Christ, all shall be made alive. And outside of Christ, the only inheritance is death. Romans 8:11 says, "But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you." So when you receive Christ and his Holy Spirit, we also receive the power that raised him from the dead. The same power. We don't just receive a nice feeling or happiness or good vibes. I hear that term so many times and I'm like, what? I think of the Beach Boys. Good, 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 good vibrations. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah, I grew up listening to the Beach Boys, thanks to my dad. So whenever I hear good vibes, I'm like, oh, like the Beach Boys, you know? But people say like, oh yeah, send your good vibes this way. I'm like, what? Like vibrate? Like shake you or something? I don't know. But so he didn't just die on the cross and we don't just receive Christ to get a good feeling, you know? And it does feel good and we feel free. And there is a feeling that comes along with it, but it's not for the sake of the feeling, you know? He gives us life so that we can have power. He died on the cross to give us power. That's what it says in Acts chapter 2. It says it right at the beginning there that when we receive the Holy Spirit, the first thing we have is power, not just happiness. Now verses 23 to 26. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and all power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Christ has promised to return one day to take us believers to heaven and all that have put their faith in him. Jesus will then remain on earth for a period of time to conquer all rulers, authorities of darkness, all the evils of the world. And this will include death because death is not from God. For us believers, we must allow God to reign in our lives so that the things that hold us back and bring us death can be defeated. Things like depression, addiction, unforgiveness, bitterness, strife, complacency, worry, hate, anxiety, and disunity. You have your own list. All these things that hold us back, that make us feel dead inside, that don't give us joy. There's so many people, I was thinking of this message and while preparing, I was just thinking there's so many people that are living not just in darkness, but living in death. They're living in sadness. They don't wake up with a pep in their step. They're not waking up with a joy in their heart, with a song in their heart. They're walking, they're like zombies. So some of us maybe here are like that, here and there. Maybe some of us know people that are like that. It's typically people that aren't saved. People that aren't saved don't have eternal hope because they don't have eternal life. They don't have a future to look forward to. They just have today. Whatever, the YOLO mentality, you know, like that's a few years ago now, but still like the idea of just, oh, I can do whatever I want today, you know, and there's no purpose to it. And so we hold on to unforgiveness because it makes us feel better. But God has given us the power to overcome these things. Amen. And in verse 27, it says, for he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. And what's being said here is that God the Father has given all authority and put all things under the feet of God the Son, which is Jesus. And this means that Christ, when Christ is in us, we walk with the same exact authority that Christ has. We can put under our feet the same powers that try to rule over us, like death. Death is under our feet. Sickness and disease are under our feet. People's opinions of us are under our feet. Insecurity is under our feet. Fear is under our feet. Brokenness is under our feet. You name it. All names shall bow to the name of Jesus. And so if we have Christ in us, everything can bow and is under our feet. Amen? All right, verse 28. Now when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. When we allow Jesus to rule in our lives, it's not for the sake of ourselves, but it's for the glory of God, so that he may be all in all. So that all in all just means that in all areas of our life, that's he's what it's all about. We give him the glory for everything. Where there is hope and life and victory, God is there. Amen? Let's be carriers of his presence, of hope, and the power that God gives us. He gives us life. He resurrected, and we can participate with that same resurrection. The power that raised Christ from the dead is in us. And so we have the authority to bring life into other people's lives. When you're around people that are sick or broken and dying, that we can speak life and we can pray for them, and we know that we have the authority of Christ. It's empowering to know this, that I don't just go about my day in my own authority. I have the authority of somebody else. We're called to be ambassadors of Christ on this earth, ambassadors of reconciliation. So we walk with that mantle, that we walk with that power and that authority to speak life where there is death, giving him glory for every victory and also proclaiming life where there is death. There's a couple testimonies that I want to share that tie this all together. And there's so much hope that we can have when we put our trust in Christ. That's what this is all about. Many of you know Sandra Lee, who used to come to the church. And she passed away a couple months ago. She had been battling cancer. And her testimony was so powerful to me. Just the last couple weeks of her life, I was visiting her at the hospice in Newport. And she was at the last leg of her life. You know, she it was 2 weeks till her birthday, and she passed away the day after her birthday. And so I was meeting with her and talking with her and walking outside with her in her wheelchair, and got to pray with her, encourage her. She encouraged me. She's also really sassy, really funny. So it was fun to hang out with her. Her personality didn't leave. It was still there. It was still kicking, if you knew her. So it was cool to, and interesting and kind of scary, to be honest, like to hang out with somebody that was so near death. I had never had that experience before, to be so intimately involved in someone, the last days of someone's life, and to try to encourage them. How do you encourage somebody? You know, like, you have to just be in prayer and like have the words of God on your lips, because he's the only thing that can encourage them. But I always asked her, what do you need prayer for? What would you like? And she's like, I'm just ready to go home. You know? And at first I'm thinking, oh yeah, let's pray for healing and you can go home and see your family. And she was like, no, like heaven. Like, I want to have a new body. I don't want this old body anymore. I don't want this broken body, this weak body, this fragile body anymore. I'm so ready to go home to see Jesus. She's ready to run again and just be whole and not have any worries anymore. And I was like, awesome. That is like some powerful hope right there. And I had never just heard that from somebody that was so near death. We talk about it at church and we talk about it in our lives, you know, like, oh, I'm not afraid of death. But really we are. You know, why do we lock our doors at night? And, you know, why don't we like walking down dark alleys? Like, clearly we're afraid of death. And so so we can say that we have this hope and this, not this worry, but it's really still there. But this, she was just bold. She was just so ready. She was confident and ready to go to heaven. And that impacted me. I was like, okay, so let's pray. And I had never prayed before that the Lord could swiftly just take her home. I had never prayed that before. And it was 2 weeks later. Pastor Steve was with her on her birthday, 60th birthday. The next day she passed away. But she left an impact, and we could truly rejoice in the fact that she had passed away, because she was in a better place. Heaven is not worse than earth. Heaven is better than earth. It's better than what our wildest dreams could imagine. We're completely whole, stress-free, anxiety-free, rent-free, mortgage-free, student debt-free. Hallelujah. Right? Like, we're just free from all of that. And so we could truly rejoice when the memorial service came along. The sting of death, there was no sting. We could rejoice. Obviously, it's sad when someone passes away, but it's more so the loss of relationship. But we can rejoice in the fact that she's in heaven now. And another, a friend of mine that comes to this church, Sam Balcom, his mom passed away like 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. I think it was 4 weeks ago now. And very sudden, she was 48 years old. He came home from school and was downstairs working on some homework or something. And he went upstairs to ask her a question, and she was dead in bed. And it obviously, that's pretty shocking. But he just went immediately into like work mode. What do I got to do next? You know, how do we set up the memorial service? Where's a funeral site? All these kinds of things. He just went into task mode and wasn't mourning. And he cried like one time maybe that day and then just kind of was in task mode. I'm sorry, this is kind of intense, but it gets better. A couple days later, she passed away on a Thursday. I met with him on Monday, and we hung out for a couple hours. And he just was like, okay, memorial service, what time should it start? What's the date? Should we have cake, coffee, hot? What, you're like, oh, what is she? Oh, iced tea. She loved iced tea. Okay, the flower's got to be purple. I'm like, okay, cool. You know, like writing this all down. But I'm like, how are you doing? You know, like you seem fine. You seem as joyful as one could be, you know, like he's still making jokes and living life. And the only point where he broke down in that couple hour conversation is when he says, you know, I know that I'm going to see her again. And I find hope in the fact that she's in a place where she doesn't have to worry about anything ever again. She was a single mom. She provided for him for his whole life and had to raise him on her own for 20 years. And like mind-boggling. I don't know. I don't even know what it's like to be a parent, let alone to be a single parent. It's difficult. I can't imagine. And so some of you here know what that's like. And to raise a kid, and imagine if you pass away, these now your kids have to figure out life. And you hope that there's a church or some people that are around your kids that can help. And I'm so thankful for Sam that he was telling me yesterday, I don't know where I would be if it wasn't for God. I don't know where I would be. Pastor Steve always says, I'd be dead if it wasn't for God. He would have, yeah. And so Sam was feeling the same exact way, and he was just so thankful for to have a church. And he started coming like eight months ago, something like that. So the timing, it's like God's timing is perfect. To have a family that can hold him and carry him through this season, and a God that can comfort him through this season as well and still rejoice. So he found hope in the fact that his mom no longer had to worry about providing money for schooling, for rent, for anything, that she was in a better place. And so we could rejoice as well. We had the memorial service two weeks ago, and it was beautiful. It was sad, but it was beautiful because we knew that she was in heaven, just like Sandra Lee. And so there's definitely power in knowing that when we have been given the gift of eternal life, that truly death has lost its sting. In 1 Corinthians 15, which is at the end of this chapter, it says at verse 55, O death, where is your sting? Amen? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is so good. In Christ, death has no power over us. It obviously still hurts when people pass away, but if they are in Christ, we confidently know they're in a better place than here. In Christ, we have ultimate hope and freedom because even death is not the end. It's just a doorway into a better life. And I can't help but rejoice. And that's why we rejoice today. We don't rejoice in the death. We rejoice in the resurrection. Amen? And so we need to rejoice in knowing that we are resurrected as well. That we have that same hope. Jesus, he did it willingly, but it wasn't that it was super easy for him as well. But the word says that the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And what was that joy? That was us. We were the joy. He endured the cross because of us. We were his joy. He thought of you on his way to the cross. As the nails were going in his flesh, as he was being whipped and spit on and cursed at and lifted up on this cross and bleeding out, he endured it because of you, because he loved you. And that is amazing. That is definitely worth rejoicing for. We have life because of Christ's life. And we have power because of the power that he has. And if he's in us, then we have eternal life. As we end service, yes, we're ending service now as the worship team wants to come back up. It's not an April Fool's joke. Even though what a great April Fool's joke, right? Jesus raised and he's like, April Fool's on Sunday. That'd be awesome if it was April 1st that he was resurrected. That'd be awesome. But if you guys just want to stand up with us as we pray. And if you've never prayed the prayer of salvation, accepted Christ in your heart, or if you just you feel like you're not living a life with that power that I was talking about, with that life that I was talking about, in that freedom that I was talking about, if you still feel bound up, or you know somebody in your life that's bound up just with death, just a feeling of sadness, of a lack of joy, of brokenness, unforgiveness, sickness, whatever it might be, that in this prayer, and we're going to, if you want to repeat the words after me and just declare it over your own life and believe in your heart as well, you will be saved and you will have that freedom. I know that you will. Amen?
Amen.
So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for your life, your death, and your resurrection. Thank you for the freedom that we have in you, that when we're found in Christ, we're forgiven, that we're set free, that we can receive your Holy Spirit and your power. And Lord, I surrender my life. We surrender our lives to you, knowing that you are the only God. You are our only Savior. You are our only hope. You are the only thing that gives us life. Nothing of this world gives us life. Only you, Lord Jesus. And so, Lord, come and invade our lives like never before. Let us not just remember what you've done on the cross today. Let us remember what you've done every single day. That we would give you glory in every area of our lives, for every provision, for every friendship, for every victory. Lord God, that we would give you glory. Lord, that our lives would be so devoted to you that we would constantly proclaim the glory of the Lord, our risen Savior. Lord, I declare healing in this place, in our lives, wherever there is brokenness of body, of flesh, wherever there is disease or sickness, Lord Jesus, I declare life in the name of Jesus, that resurrection power in the name of Jesus. I pray that you come and invade this place. I pray for wholeness, wholeness of mind, of thought, Lord Jesus, wherever there is mental illness, Lord Jesus, I pray for healing and amending, Lord God, of thought. That you renew our minds, Lord God, and you renew our strength. For us, anyone that feels defeated in their day-to-day life, to feel defeated at work or in their marriage or as a parent or as a child, Lord God, where we feel inadequate, Father God, I pray that we find our adequacy in you. We find our purpose and our wholeness in you, Lord God, that you declare life in our lives, that we receive what you have for us today. Lord God, we put our past in the past, and we no longer go back to it. Lord, that we put all of our burdens on you, all of our stress, all of our anxiety, all of our bitterness, all of our unforgiveness, Lord God, we put it on you. And we receive your healing right now, Lord God. And we thank you that you are giving us life and you're filling us up every single day. And as we go out and we celebrate the life of Jesus, our risen Savior, that you be with us, that your words would be on our lips, and that we would be an example. We would be a light and a salt in this earth, around our family and our friends, and in our community like never before. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
We hope God has spoken to you through this podcast. Tell your friends and please visit us on the web at www.calvarychapelfoothillranch.com.